If you have a Bible, turn to the book of John, chapter number 5. The book of John, chapter 5. How many have ever given a speech? Most everybody. How much time did you put in on it? Hang on, I can only hear one at a time. Yes? 2 or 3 days. How long was your speech? Okay. A lot of preparation. Okay. So it takes a little while, doesn't it? Yes. Not much time? Okay. That can be done. Yes. Hang on, guys. Took you 2 days? Hey, boys. 2 weeks? How long was your speech?
3 minutes.
3 minutes. Okay. Okay. Now let me ask you a question. This is very serious. Let me ask you a question. When you gave your speech, did you think it was important?
Yes.
Did you want people to listen to you?
No.
Yes. Okay. Okay, a little scared. I'm getting to a point. Guys, listen. Listen. I work hard at getting ready for a message. And I appreciate people listening. Matter of fact, I believe that what I am going to talk about is very important. And when we think something's very important, we're going to probably put more time in on it. Okay? And sometimes we just do like what you said. We just stand up and let loose. Some people can do that. But it's very important. So I want you to pay attention tonight. Eyes up here, attention up here. Is that fair for me to ask? Yeah. That's why we came tonight. Okay? Believe it or not, guys, girls, when we get in a setting like this, sometimes we think it's cute and funny to be funny or whatever. But by and large, most don't appreciate it. And some wish we weren't that way. So let's just pay really close attention tonight. I want to share with you something from the book of John, chapter number 5, and it's the healing of an impotent man. When we say impotent, we're talking about a man who had no power to walk. He was not able to walk. He had no strength. Okay? And so here's a man without any strength. And it's a tremendous picture. When we see the healing of an individual in the Word of God, one of the things we can do is we can make application. You know what I mean by application? In other words, we can look at that person and we can see how God can work in our lives. Now, you may not need physical healing. You might not need that. You did. And I've needed physical healing. But all of us need healing of the soul. We need healing within. And so we're going to make application of that tonight as we look at this man who was powerless. And so we're going to start in verse number 1. Just to give us an idea, we'd like to read the scripture. So let me read this to you. Most of you don't have a Bible, so I want you to pay attention and listen very closely. It says, after this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem, by the sheep market, a pool which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having 5 porches. How many can form images in your mind? Okay, we're inside of a city. We're by the sheep market, which is right next to what is called the sheep gate. Why do you think they call it a sheep gate? It's where sheep came in. And we're talking about Jerusalem. We're talking about an area in Jerusalem that is very near to the temple where they would worship. Why were sheep important to worship? Why do you think? Why were sheep important for worship? Does anybody know why? What did they do with them? What they do? They killed them. That's exactly right. They killed them. Okay? They were a sacrifice to God. Okay? Now it was a picture of something. Come on, sit back. It was a picture of something. Jesus is called the Lamb of God. And He died for us. Do you know why you deserve to die? The wages. The Bible says that the wages of sin is death. It's not because we get sick. It's because of our sin. Okay? God told Adam and Eve, in the day you eat thereof, you shall surely die. And so, something must die. Now for you and I, if we don't die for our own sins, something has to die for it. And that was Jesus. In the Old Testament, it was a lamb that showed forth the Lord Jesus Christ. So here's this market where they bring the sheep. People would travel from long distances. They'd bring their money. They would buy a sheep that they might have it killed by the priests to atone for their sin or to pay for their sin. And so here's a picture. So we have this pool now that's next to it. It's called Bethesda. Let's look at it. What's it say? It has five porches. And you say, what in the world is a porch? It was basically a canopy. An area that was set aside, or canopied, I could say, in order to bring some protection to the people that were there. Now, who was there? Notice the next verse. It says, in these porches lay a great multitude of impotent folk. They were powerless. Listen to what was wrong with them. A blind halt. Means they can't walk. Withered. You ever seen somebody with a limb that was withering away? I've seen that. Okay? Waiting for the moving of the water. Here's an unusual scene now. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first after the troubling of the water stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. So here's people that are waiting for these waters to get troubled. In other words, these waters would begin to stir. You'd see ripplings. It's not a large pool. And that water would begin to stir. The first one who could get to that pool and step in would be healed. Not a lot of folks, they look at that and say, oh, that's a ridiculous story. Well, it's in the Bible. God said it. And so I'm just going to take it at face value. Okay? And so here we find that one person then would be able to be healed. But notice here, verse 5, a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. That's a long time. How old are you? You're 14. 2 times 14 is 28. 3 times 14 is what? 42, you're thinking. Okay? Almost 3 times your age. Anybody here 13? 3 times your age. Just almost. That's 39. So here's somebody who's been in this condition for a long time. Don't know how old he was. Probably older, but he had an infirmity for 38 years. Was he at this pool all that time? I do not know. But notice, when Jesus saw him lie and knew he had been now a long time in that case, he said to him, wilt thou be made whole? That's an interesting question. The impotent man answered him, sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool, but while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. He is so weak and so disabled, somebody always beats him. Jesus said to him, rise, take up thy bed and walk. And immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. Now that's interesting. So here's a man. He is lame for 38 years, and Jesus comes along and he sees this man at this pool of Bethesda. That word Bethesda means house of pity or mercy. Now there's a sheep gate there. That's where the sheep came in, and that is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is grace, what the word Bethesda or mercy, provided through the Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ, that brings healing to all of us. And so here is this man lying in the shade of this area that somebody had provided for him. Somebody had enough kindness to build these. And so the Lord comes and he says, "Wilt thou be made whole?" If this was you, come on, if this was you, what would you say? You've been this way for 38 years. You say, well, anybody in his right mind would say, yes, I want to be healed. Let's understand something for a moment. I don't know if you ever found this to be your case. I'm sure that many of the older folks back here could say so. There are a lot of people who like being in an awful case. They like being able to tell you how terrible it is for them. It's sad, but it's true. And so when he asks this question, it's not altogether out of line, but he says, "Wilt thou be made whole?" And this man answers and says, "I have no man. I have nobody to help me." And what a horrible thing that is when you and I need help, we have nobody there to help us. And here's a man needed help, but nobody there. What you and I don't recognize so often in our lives is that we need help. And if you and I need help and there's nobody to help us, we are in an awful case. And so here's this fellow. He says, "I've not had anybody to help me." And really, that looks like a lot of what you and I find in today's society. There are so many needs, but nobody to help. But here's the Lord Jesus Christ who comes to his rescue. Here's a man who has passion. He has compassion upon this man. And as he looks at this man, he says, "Wilt thou be made whole?" And this man, he says, he doesn't have anybody to help him. And then Jesus said to him, "Rise, take up thy bed and walk." Now, you've never walked for 38 years. You've been without power in your legs and your limbs. You can't even get to the pool when the waters are stirring. And Jesus looks at you and says, "Rise up and walk." That sounds kind of crazy, doesn't it? Rise up and walk. But I want you to notice what happens. The next verse, it starts with "and." It's connected, and immediately the man was made whole, took up his bed and walked, and on the same day was the Sabbath. The Lord Jesus Christ, when he commands us to do something, gives us the power to do it if we will step out and do it. Who was it said I was scared to death when I gave my speech? Is that you? How many were? Yeah. I know exactly how you feel. I had speech in high school. I had speech in college on two different colleges. I attended for 3 years of what is now UNO, and then I went off to Bible college. I had speech over there. I had speech in Bible college. Scared to death. The very first time I stood in a pulpit to preach, I was so scared and so nervous, I went to the bathroom and threw up twice. Yes, it was. I was so scared inside, it just had me all messed up. And God called me to preach. I say that to tell you this. When God wants you to do something, He gives you the ability to do it. doesn't mean it will be easy. But He enables those whom He asks to do. And whatever it is that God asks you to do in life, He will give you the strength and the power to do it. And there will be things, honestly, if you know the Lord as your Savior, you follow His direction, and you do what He says, you'll look back and you'll wonder, how in the world did that get accomplished? It's by the strength and power of God. There is no explanation. It is God who does that. And so here's a man. The Lord said, rise, take up thy bed and walk. Three parts to the command. Get up, take your bed. Now that's not a four-poster thing. That's not a bed for these folks. It was like a mat rolled up. And so it was not really a big thing. Not much more than a blanket, so to speak. A bed roll. And so he would roll that up. And he says, rise, take up thy bed. What's he saying? You don't need to live here anymore. By the way, when God saves us, when God makes us whole within, He doesn't want us to live where we used to live. And I'm not talking about a physical address. But not in the sin that we once knew. God makes us whole that we might walk in that kind of life. Rise, take up thy bed, and He says, walk. In other words, for you and I, He is saying, there is a direction for us to go. It's talking about what we're doing in life. Right? And so here's a man that he obeys Him very quickly, and we find that the healing is very quick. Tremendous story, but we're not done. Notice in verse number 10. The Jews, therefore, said unto him that was cured, it is the Sabbath day, it's not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. You've just had your life changed. You haven't been able to walk. You haven't been able to do anything. Keep your hands to yourself. You can't do anything. You can't even get to the pool. And now he is in the temple, and the Jews are saying to him, well, you're not supposed to be in here carrying your bed. He answered them, he that made me whole, the same said to me, take up thy bed and walk. Then asked they him, what man is that which said unto thee, take up thy bed and walk? And he that was healed wist not who it was, for Jesus had conveyed himself away, a multitude being in that place. Now let's think about it. Here we find this man is now confronted. He has gone to the temple. It's just not very many steps away from the sheep market. It's very close to an entrance into the temple, a place, by the way, where they would praise, a place where they'd be show forth thanks to God. And if you've been healed, where are you going to head? You're going to go someplace where you can do that. For me, when things happen and I want to praise, well, I love going to church. But he gets there, and there are people that are criticizing him. He has just been healed. And they're criticizing the fact that he's carrying his bed with him. Now, the Jew was not supposed to do any labor on the Sabbath, that is for sure. But the Lord Jesus made it very clear that we can do deeds of mercy. In other words, he said to the Jews one time, if your ox is in a ditch and it's a Sabbath day, you're going to go get him out. You're not going to leave him there till the next day to help him out. You'll be dead. And so there was actions of mercy. There were actions that really were not connected with what they was talking about was doing labor where you're earning a paycheck. Now I look at this, and these Jews, they're criticizing him, but they're not concerned at all that, hey, this guy once couldn't walk. He used to be at the pool of Bethesda. They're not excited about that. They're being critical about the fact he's carrying his bed. And guys, one of the things we find in life is that good things can happen to us and God can do some things. But there's always somebody that's there to criticize. Just write it down. It's going to happen. There's always the critics. No matter how good something happens around here, there's always a critic. Somebody gets saved. I mean, God comes in their life and they've given their heart over to the Lord. And somebody says, oh, he won't last. Well, gee, thanks for the encouragement. And I've done the same thing on some occasions. How we need to understand something. We ought to be thrilled at that which takes place in a life. You know what I'm saying? It might not change you to be just exactly like me, but thank God when it does some work in your life. That's a thrilling thing. And so we find that this man, he has this criticalness that comes his way. But I want you to know something else. Verse number 14, this one blesses my heart, says, afterward, Jesus findeth him in the temple and said to him, behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. Now, does God know what we're going through? Yes, he does. He knows. Now, he comes to him and says some things to him. Let me liken that for you. The Lord does not talk audibly to us, but we do have this Bible that we call the Word of God. And my goodness, what great comfort it can bring to us. And so here the Lord comes. This is His Word. He says, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. He's saying to this guy a couple of things. One, hey, you've been forgiven. Don't go back to the old way of life. You've been forgiven. It's not to live like that anymore. Why would he want to go back and live by the pool of Bethesda? Why would he want to lay on a mat waiting all day long for the waters to move that he might try to get into the waters when he's been made whole? And oftentimes we as Christians, we get saved. For some reason, we want to go back to the old walk, the old life. God save us from that. God makes us new. He does a work in our life. Many of you in this room, you want something different in your life. You need something different in your life. And He's the answer for that. He wants to do that for us. And give us that. And what's interesting to me, after the Lord meets with him and tells him these things, it says, the man departed and said to the Jews that it was Jesus which had made him whole. Now he knows who it is. How many know what Jesus means? What the term means? Anybody know? It goes clear back to the Old Testament. It simply means Jehovah. That's an Old Testament word for God saves. Jesus means Jehovah, or God saves. God saves us from the penalty of our sin. God saves this man from the horribleness of his disease. And so he goes and says, hey, it's Jesus. There's a song, the sweetest name I've ever heard. And it's the Lord Jesus Christ. And he goes and tells him, hey, it is Jesus who did this for me. So here's a man. He's had the Lord, what? Save him by saving his body. We can make that a salvation experience. He's healed him. And now he's come back to him to teach him a little bit more. If you're saved tonight, one of the reasons you come to church is you hear the Word of God and you learn a little bit more about Him. One of the great things about the miracles of Christ is how we can apply them to our lives. Here's a man who was healed from his sickness, but God wants to heal us from our sin. Because your sin, and your sin, and your sin, and your sin, and my sin, and your sin will take us to an everlasting hell in separation from God. And that sin must be paid for. And that's what the Lord Jesus Christ did. And by what He did upon the cross of Calvary, a healing can come to our soul. And then He wants to teach us. Now what's interesting in this whole scenario now is that after He tells these Jews this, they don't get excited about it. It says, therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay Him because He had done these things on the Sabbath day. They are so intent in their religion, they don't allow Jesus to speak to their heart. We find a lot of folks today that are religious and it's all about doing this, and doing this, when really it ought to be about accepting what He did for us on the cross of Calvary. He's the good one. We understand? Are we there? God wants to heal your soul. Many in this room have experienced that. Some of you maybe haven't. God did that for me when I was 19 years of age. And God healed my soul. Do you know how He did it? Listen to me. I was reading the works of a man named Martin Luther. Not Martin Luther King. This is a man who lived way back in the 1500s. The Lutheran Church has his name. Lutheran, okay? I was reading his works. What he was doing was basically, on paper, he wrote a sermon. And what he shared with me in that, and with any who'd ever read it, some of the things he said was, for by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourself, the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. See, I like the Jews thought, you know, if I'm a good little boy, when I die, God will judge me good and He'll take me to heaven. But I was fast learning I wasn't as good a little boy as I thought. Rotten to the core. And when I saw there what it said, not of works, I realized there had to be another way. I'd heard most of my life that Jesus died for me, but I didn't understand that. I didn't realize that my sin was going to cause me to die and be separated from God for an eternity. But then it began to make sense. And I realized that Jesus Christ died for me. He took my place. Just like in the Old Testament, those lambs took the place of those individuals. He took my place. And if I would accept what He did on the cross of Calvary, that's all I had to do. I thought, wow. See, this man, what did Jesus say? Wilt thou be made whole? Remember that? Wilt thou be made whole? Will you let Him save you? Most people say, no, I'll do it myself. But we have to let God do it. You say, how do you let God do it? Simply believe what He told us. That He died for us. He was buried in a grave. He arose from the dead. He's alive with God. That you and I can also be alive with God. If we'll but believe that. See, that's all I got to do. Yeah. Not believe with the head. Guys, there's a difference. Just believe with the heart. Have you put your faith and trust in Christ? Have you done that? I'm going to ask you to bow your head tonight. If everybody just bow their head. Would you please do me a favor? Now look around, close your eyes. I kind of want to talk to you one-on-one. I don't want you looking at somebody else, playing around. Let me ask you a very personal question. Have you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ? You know that. You could just very easily lift your hand, not by disturbing your neighbor. Just put it up, I might see it. I have put my trust in Jesus Christ. I know that. Don't put it up if you're not sure. I see your hands. You can put them down. Some of you in here could not raise your hand. Now let me ask you, would you like to know that? Would you like to know that? Again, nobody's looking around. Just between me and you. Just put your hand up, I might see it. I see the hand. God sees your heart. Now in the quietness of your heart, let me ask you, do you believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for you? Do you believe that? Would you be willing to right now say, Lord, I accept what you did for me on the cross of Calvary. You don't have to say it out loud. I accept what you did for me on the cross of Calvary. I need you to save my soul. If you've done that, would you slip your hand again? I might see it. You can put them down. All of you look at me if you would, please. Especially those that raised their hand just lastly. If you meant what you said and you asked Jesus Christ to come in your life, listen what the Bible says. It says, whosoever, you can put your name there, that's you. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's Romans 10:13. I claim that verse myself. I called upon Him. And based upon the Word of God, He saved my soul. Because I believed Him. I believed Him. And I have no reason to doubt you. And I trust that you understood what you did. Several of you raised your hand. God wants to save our soul. As He healed this man, He wants to heal within us. He wants to do that. I would like... We have a bunch of church tracts out there. In fact, there's a bunch in there. I'd like to make sure you guys get one of those. How many of you guys need a Bible? If I give you one, I don't know how many I got left over there. I gave some of you Bibles here some time back. Okay. I'm going to just close in prayer. And once you come over there, I'd like to give you one of those. Okay. Any of you guys also, if you want to go to camp with us, stop and see my wife. She runs out. Let her know that you'd like one of those. We'll get one made and get it to you before you leave today. Okay? Is that fair? But you guys who want a Bible, I think I still have some in the closet. Somebody, they're not a leather cover like mine. They got a... there's one right there. You got one. Okay, like that. Thank you for bringing it. Okay? I think I got some more of those. And I want you to have one of those. Take it and read it, okay? Matter of fact, find the book John that we were looking at tonight. Start there. The book of John. Yes, ma'am. I was on chapter 5 tonight. John chapter 5. Actually, just verses 1 through 16. Just the first part, okay? The story keeps going, but we're not going any farther with it, okay? So, it's a great, great story there in the Word of God. Alrighty. Okay. Don't you leave without me seeing you. Okay. All right. Let's have a word of prayer. You guys who want that, and I'd like to, matter of fact, in the rack that's right outside the door, there's some tracts there. They have some of those verses we talked about in them. Or come back here and I'll get you one of those too, because I know there's some back here. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much tonight for these that are here tonight. Thank you for these young folks, especially for those tonight who said they've put their trust in you. Oh God, I pray the reality of that might sink deep within them. Lord Jesus, I pray that they might understand and realize that you're not only saving their soul from having to die and to go to hell, but Lord, to a new way of life, that which is exciting and thrilling. Lord, I pray you might bless and work in their hearts and lives. Guard them from all the things that seek to destroy them. I pray in Christ's name. Amen.